This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. All praise is due to Allah, the Exalted. We praise Him. We seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of our sins and the evils within ourselves. Whomsoever Allah guides because they sincerely seek guidance, none can misguide. And whomever He rightfully allows to be led astray because they do not sincerely seek guidance, none can guide. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, is his servant and final messenger. Allah the Exalted reminds us in the noble Quran what is translated as, O you who believe, O believers, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, this is an address to us. Be conscious of Allah as He deserves. Be conscious of Allah in public, in private, with Muslims, with non-Muslims, wherever you are, at any time of the day or night. Be conscious of Allah as He deserves. And do not die except in a state of worship to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us amongst al-muttaqeen, those who are conscious of Him, working towards His pleasure, and allow us to die upon it. Allahumma ameen. When we look back at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no doubt we study not just the seerah in general with a chronological story. We find there are many lessons and applications that if we were to take them, if we were to reflect on them, if we were to apply them in modern day scenarios, in our individual lives, with our homes, our families, addressing different causes in society, issues of justice, injustice, issues of spiritual development, matters like the pandemic, how do we live our lives taking some of the benefits that we find from the authentic ahadith and the authentic history about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the greatest areas, one of the greatest regions to focus on is the very beginning of prophethood. The very beginning of prophethood, we know that there were several early revelations. We know the story of the first revelation, we'll go into it inshallah ta'ala. But what we want to take from that story today is not the storytelling benefit or leisure or entertainment. We want to take some of the lessons of that story and see where we measure up to some of these traits and how we can apply this in a very transformative way, inshallah ta'ala. So we know from Aisha radiallahu anha that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to paraphrase the authentic ahadith, before he received wahi for the very first time, he started having good and true dreams. What he used to see in his dreams would manifest in reality, she said, like the clear sunlight, meaning it was so clear that this was exactly what he saw in the dream. This is one of the signs of prophethood, accurate dreams. And there are reasons for that, of course, aside from the fact that this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A characteristic amongst the characteristics of the prophets is their honesty, their integrity. As-sadiq al-ameen, the honest, the trustworthy, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She said, and then after a certain point, it started becoming very beloved to him to go and retreat in seclusion to Ghar Hira, to meditate alone, to reflect, to worship. Now at this point, he was worshiping, he believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the rules of Sharia were not revealed yet. Meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, was never amongst the people of Quraysh who worshipped idols or anything like this. He believed in a creator and used to meditate and reflect in a way that he could at the time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he would do so at Ghar Hira. And at times he would leave for 3 or 4 days, several days, and he would come back for one reason. He would come back to Khadija radiallahu anha to restock, to replenish what he needed of food and provisions, and then go back to Ghar Hira. So he used to meditate and reflect, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then one day, as he was meditating and reflecting, and I want you to imagine this scenario, there's no electricity, there's no technology, you can hear someone coming from far away, out in the middle of nowhere. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sitting in this cave, Ghar Hira, alone. Again, no sounds. You cannot hear anybody coming nearby. And suddenly something grabs him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Something grabs him and a voice says, read, iqra, the very first revelation. Iqra, the ummah of iqra, the ummah of reading, the ummah of recitation, the ummah of knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who pursue it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ma ana biqari, I am not a reader. And he said that voice held on to him until he felt like he could not handle it anymore, like he was running out of breath. And then finally released and said once again, iqra. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ma ana biqari, I am not a reader. He said the voice held on to him, squeezed him very tight until he could bear it no longer, and then released him and said, iqra, for the third time. Ma ana biqari, I am not a reader. And the voice held on to him, tightly squeezing until he thought he could not bear it anymore, and finally released him and said, what? Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Recite, read in the name of your Lord who created. Created what? Created all of mankind. خلق الإنسان من علق. The one who created mankind from a clot. Iqra, read. وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ. Your Lord is the most generous. الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمُ. The one who taught mankind writing by the pen. عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمُ. The one who gave mankind knowledge of that which he knew not. And one of the miracles of humanity, of human beings, one of the distinctions between human beings and everything else we observe of organisms in this world, is that we have the miracle of metacognition, of language, advanced language, civilization. Do we think about these blessings that we have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? These things that honor human beings and make us noble amongst the creation and remind us that there's a reason that you're here. There's a purpose for your life. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in fear, does not know what just happened, and he's running down the mountain. This is a long trek. Where does he go, sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Look at the real human emotion. This is one of the signs of prophethood, in fact, the way he dealt with revelation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam runs back straight to his family. He runs back to Khadija radiallahu anha, and he enters the house, and he ran. He enters the house, perhaps the heart is beating, and he's afraid, and he says, cover me, zammiluni, zammiluni, cover me. And he says to Khadija radiallahu anha, after the fear dissipated and disappeared, eventually he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, mali, what's wrong with me? Qad khashitu ala nafsi. I'm worried about myself. I'm worried I'm going to be ruined. Something bad just really happened to me. And he tells Khadija radiallahu anha everything that happened. He says, I'm worried about myself. Look at his reaction, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not knowing what just happened with Jibreel alayhi salam. Khadija radiallahu anha, as a family member, should support and validate and help their loved ones in times of distress and fear. She says, kalla, abshir. No, no, don't worry. He said, qad khashitu ala nafsi, I'm worried about myself. I'm ruined. Something bad is happening to me. She said, no, don't worry. Instead, there's some glad tidings. There's some good news. Think about the positive thing, the following things. And she listed, radiallahu anha, six characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that if you were to follow, you would notice not a change only in your life, but in all of civilization, in all of society. If we lived by only these six characteristics, how does she know, radiallahu anha, because she said abshir, have like glad tidings and good cheer, how does she know, radiallahu anha, that this is not the reality, that you're not being disgraced or humiliated or this is a bad thing? It's because she lived with him for 15 years, radiallahu anha. She supported him when nobody else did. She stood by him. She reminded him. She was a pillar for him, radiallahu anha. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ never forgot that. And he mentioned later on in many years after she passed away, his strong love for Khadija radiallahu anha because of her support when no one else was there. Because of her support in times of distress. How do we respond when our loved ones are in distress? When your children are in fear? When your spouse, your parents, your siblings are going through a hard time, or your family members or community? Some people, subhanAllah, they automatically become very angry, impatient. What's wrong with you? Why are you so upset? Why are you so afraid? At that moment that a person is going through the emotion of fear, the first response of criticizing and being harsh, that's not the prophetic response, first of all. Second of all, psychologically does not actually take care of the situation or create a stronger bond, a trust that this person knows that when they're in distress, they can come to you, they can open up to you. This is why many children grow up not opening up to their parents, because when they do, they're automatically shut down emotionally. Rather than calming them down, giving them glad news, optimism. Look at the bright side. I'm going to calm you down. Everything will be okay. and going through it step by step, as Khadija radiallahu anha did with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. People don't forget that. Loved ones don't forget that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us loving and supporting to our loved ones. Allahumma ameen. Kalla abshir. What are the six things she mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? With each of these six, ask yourself, inshallah ta'ala, remind yourself to reflect, how much am I perfecting this characteristic? Number one, she said, innaka la tasilu rahim. You fulfill and uphold the ties of family. Innaka la tasilu rahim. You uphold the ties of family. Family is so important to you. And subhanAllah, when is this more important for us, for humanity to consider and reflect on, than the 21st century in many Western nations, when we see, according to trends in sociology and psychology, the extreme individualism of people looking at and reflecting only on their own goals, that we are two separate people, the son and the parents, the daughter and the parent. And the reality is, this individualism is actually destroying society. People are pursuing their own desires. This is part of liberalism, their own utilitarian pleasures and joy and expression, forgetting about family ties, forgetting about their parents, forgetting about their community members. إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمُ. The one who upholds the ties of family is upholding the ties of a nation. The one who upholds the ties of family, even when it's difficult, even when they cut you off. Because صِلَةُ الرَّحِمُ is not only for you to be connected to the family member, the relative, the uncle, the aunt, the cousin, who's also on good terms with you. That's the easy part. صِلَةُ الرَّحِمُ, according to an authentic hadith, is when they cut you off, you're still connected to them. When they cut you off and they insult you, you are kind to them. You don't stoop to a low level. Why? Because they are not your teachers of صِلَةُ الرَّحِمُ. Your teacher is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Silatul Rahim, especially when it's difficult. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to uphold the ties of family and to perfect our relationships as much as possible. Allahumma ameen. So number one, innaka la tasil rahim. Number two, she said, watasduqul hadith. You always speak the truth. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. Oh, you believe, be mindful of Allah. Be conscious of Allah. Wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. And be amongst those who speak the truth. Those who are always upon sidq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in public and in private, with people and with the Creator. What does it mean to always be upon the truth? One of the signs of prophethood, the messengers generally speaking, is that they were always people of truth. And so someone might reflect on a very different question. Why were specific people chosen to be prophets and messengers? This is a very long discussion in theology. And one of the interesting things to reflect on is who they were, their characteristics, before they received revelation. Are we amongst those who are always telling the truth? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his nickname amongst the people of Quraysh in Mecca was As-Sadiq al-Amin. You don't get a nickname of being the honest person, the trustworthy person, unless you've always been honest, unless you've always been trustworthy. And we reflect today on the spread of false information and the increase in lies in society and how that destroys society, morally speaking. It destroys relationships, and TV shows and movies and even the media at large at times will normalize, and even sometimes will portray it as though it's encouraged for someone to be a con man, for someone to be cool. They're always conning people, lying to people, a pathological liar. We've seen many politicians like this in the US and around the world. What happens to society when people are constantly lying? May Allah protect us. Lying is a major sin in Islam. It's not a minor thing. And oftentimes when it becomes normal, we forget. May Allah protect us and keep us amongst as-sadiqeen. That no matter what, you're always a person of truth. What happens when you're a person of truth, you will start to see true dreams as well. The one who is always honest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the creation will find themselves inclining towards more and more of the fitrah, as well as the increase in iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from any kind of deception or lying. Allahumma ameen. Wa tasduqul hadith. Number three, وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلِ. She said, you always carry the burdens of other people. We're living in a time in which, because we're connected with the entire world due to the internet, we're aware of many burdens. You're aware of the burdens of people living in other lands, and aware of the burdens in the United States of America. You're aware of discrimination in different places. You're aware of systemic oppression and racism in the US against the black community, against minorities, against Muslims, against a number of people in society. You're aware of the social injustices and inequalities. We're aware. It's not a matter of awareness. This is one part of it. And by now, I hope and I pray that we're all aware of what's happening around us, because this is important to us to resolve these issues, to overcome oppression. This is part of your obligation as a Muslim, especially in America. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilize all of us for that. Allahumma ameen. And so, وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ, you carry the burdens of other people, means that the one who is neglected, the one who is going through a hard time, the one who opens up to you, your own family member, the community member, that person online who's struggling, that you're also partaking in their burden, trying to help them in some way, even if it is only to listen to them, even if it's only to lend an ear to someone. Because oftentimes what people struggle with, especially with the pandemic, subhanAllah, is the feeling of isolation, the feeling of loneliness, being completely cut off and thinking that nobody can relate to them or that nobody cares about them. And subhanAllah, there have been many people who have taken their own lives because the people around them did not care about their burden. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilize all of us to support one another and to lend our ears to one another and our time and our efforts to volunteer and support one another. In fact, this is more beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam than spending an entire month in i'tikaf in his masjid to carry the burden of your brother and your sister, to fulfill their needs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to do so. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ, number three. Number four, وَتَكْسُبُ الْمَعْدُومِ, you always take care of the one who is not able to take care of themselves. We find in society many people who are neglected in different ways. These two, three and four are very similar. But essentially, you're looking for the opportunity to help someone without coming up with excuses. One of our problems, may Allah forgive us, is that when people are struggling, at times a person who does not want to help will come up with a reason not to help. And they will try to justify it why psychologically so that we don't feel bad. That person who's begging for money on at the traffic light, oh, he's probably buying drugs or alcohol. How do you know that? How do you know that? And is that your business? Your responsibility, as long as you don't know, obviously they're buying something wrong with it. Your responsibility to give the sadaqah to support. You don't know what they're going to do with it. It's not clear to you. And Allah will still reward you for the sadaqah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still bless you for doing the right thing. Take care of the burdens of other people without coming up with excuses all the time. May Allah protect us and forgive us. I'm not referring to a specific case here. I'm not referring to someone who's clearly buying something wrong with it. I'm referring to the general scenarios in life. Someone calls you, contacts you, asks you for help. Before you come up with an excuse, find a reason, find an excuse to help them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilize all of us. Allahumma ameen. وَتَقْرِ الضَّيْفِ, number five. You take care of your guest. You're very hospitable. You're very welcoming. Inshallah, after the pandemic as well, when things get better and we have the opportunity to host one another more often, this is something that is actually disappearing in many societies, in many Western nations, welcoming of the guest or even having guests in general. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us welcoming to one another, not only in the homes, but even in the masajid, that the one who comes to the masjid and you don't recognize that brother or she's not recognized to the sisters, that you welcome them. Say salam to them at the very least. Say salam to them. How are you? Welcome them and mention your name. Introduce yourself. Oftentimes, and this is why the Prophet ﷺ advises us to give salam to the one you know and the one you don't know. Oftentimes someone comes to the masjid for the very first time in years. Or they just wanted to repent for the first time in years. And then maybe they're not dressed right. Maybe they don't know. Maybe she doesn't know any better. Maybe it's a new Muslim. Maybe they're struggling with something. You don't know their story. They come to the masjid and someone says something. Someone gives them a dirty look. Someone pushes them away. Someone ignores their salam. May Allah protect us and forgive us. When people come to the masajid and the events online as well, that we are welcoming and supporting to one another. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts and unite between our hearts. Allahumma ameen. And finally, number six. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ, and you are always upholding the cause of truth, the cause of justice, you're always supporting it. It does not matter who's on the other side. Where the truth is, you're there. When people were struggling, when there was conflict in Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ is always on the side of truth. It's not about the side of your family, your ethnicity, your language, you're on the side of truth. And you bring other people to the truth as well, especially if you love them. And so as people of truth, pursuing truth and exemplifying truth and bringing others to truth, when you see problems in the US and around the world, when you see any of these struggles and these hardships online and offline as well, where we have platforms to speak and address and take care of these situations, that we are upholding the cause of truth. Not the cause of my emotions, my biases, a nation state. No, we are on the side of truth. The Prophet ﷺ was always supporting people upon the truth, even if the one who was being supported was the one who was looked down at most in society. And in fact, this is a sign of a real prophet and messenger. This is a sign of authenticity. This is a sign that you are an authentic person. That you're not superficial where you're standing only with people who have certain degrees or certain wealth or certain jobs or only in a certain place. I don't want to be seen with certain people. No, the one who's genuinely upon the truth, a legitimate person in their personality and their honesty, is always supporting whomever may be dealing with injustice, oppressed, violated in some way. You're always supporting their cause. And there are many causes. We're living now, alhamdulillah, in a times in which we have many opportunities. And yet we don't take advantage of these opportunities. We're living now, especially during this month, in many places, it's very important to reflect on Black History Month and so on and so forth, with all of the injustices, perhaps for a future khutbah, inshallah ta'ala. But when we reflect on this one example of many examples, we can ask ourselves, what do we do as Muslims? What do we do when it comes to the cause of truth? What do we say when it comes to the cause of, for example, Palestinians or the Uyghurs in East Turkestan who are being oppressed and violated with systemic oppression, systemic rape? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate their affairs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring a swift punishment upon those who are attacking and violating the rights of other people. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilize all of us to support the causes of those who are oppressed, regardless of where they are or what their background is. Allahumma ameen. Brothers and sisters, these six characteristics were not after prophethood. These were even before the revelation, before Iqra. And so when we reflect on these six, we say, am I a person who is going to be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with some blessing of a mission of da'wah in some way to help some people, to do something great beyond just my current goals? Am I fulfilling at least these six characteristics? Am I fulfilling at least these six characteristics? Once again, to uphold the ties of family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite between our hearts. Fix a relationship that needs fixing before that person or before you depart from this world. Number two, وَتَصْدُقُ الْحَدِيثِ. You're always speaking the truth, online and offline. You're never a person of lies. You're never a person of deception. Number three, وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ. That you're always carrying and taking care of the burdens of other people. You're helping others as well. وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ. You're taking care of those who cannot take care of themselves in society. وَتَقْرِ الضَّيْفِ. Number five, you are welcoming to your guests, again, with your home and with events and masajid and so on and so forth. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. You are always upholding the cause of truth and the cause of justice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who fulfill these characteristics and allow us to benefit from these reminders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and guide other people through us and forgive us for all of our sins, the past, present and future, the sins that are major, the sins that are minor, the sins that are public, the sins that are private, the sins that we remember and the sins that we forgot. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who benefit from what we hear. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us in good faith and good health during these times and grant shifa to those who seek shifa, to those who seek healing. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heal our hearts and our communities and our families and relationships as well and guide us back to that which is most pleasing to Him. Allahumma ameen. Brothers and sisters, the earliest of revelations we know of Iqra, Surah Al-Muddathir as well. Ya ayyuhal muddathir qum fa'andir was amongst the first revelations, as well as Surah Al-Muzzammil. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil. O you who is covered in garments, O you who is covered in clothes. Qum illayla illa qalila. Stand for the night prayer, even if it's very little, except for very little. And it's important to reflect here on the context of the revelation. How much was the Prophet ﷺ commanded to pray during the night? And the Sahaba who were there from the very beginning of Islam. Nisfahu, half of it. أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا. Pray the entire night, except for a little. Half of the night, meaning a little more or less, depending on what your stamina, your ability. So there is flexibility given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but approximately half the night in Qiyamul Layl, standing for half the night in prayer. The first training that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his mission, the training program that's given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his creation, to the greatest of creation, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stand for the night prayer. Aisha radiallahu anha reported, Qiyamul Layl was wajib for the entire first year after this revelation. The Sahaba as well, they would pray Qiyamul Layl for the entire first year. Now the five prayers had not fully been obligated yet, meaning there were two prayers later on developed into five during Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. But what's important to reflect on here is what? People pay billions of dollars in America and around the world every year for different training programs, diet programs, for different regimens. P90X and so on and so forth. People pay a lot of money for these things. And I'm not saying that anything here is necessarily bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a training program that if you want to take this, it's priceless. If you want to take this and develop yourself to the highest standard and see the earliest of Sahaba, why they were so strong with all that they went through. You see that here it begins with a strong will and perseverance to let go of worldly comfort and to stand privately between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to develop a relationship that is built upon sidq, sincerity, between you and Allah that nobody else is aware about, that you stand for the night prayer. And I'm not saying here it's an obligation, but Qiyamul Layl, as the Prophet ﷺ said, is the best and most beloved prayer to Allah after the obligatory prayers. And at the very least, brothers and sisters, before you sleep, at the very least, pray 2 or 4 or 8 rak'ahs with your witr prayer. Or when you wake up at night, aim to do that. That is the higher level of training. If you want to get to the next level of your personality, your potential, your development, your blessings, the forgiveness of Allah, and all worldly things as well that we are not pursuing will open up for you. The pursuit of training with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A private communication. If you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to increase that bond, that communication, and there's no greater time than during the night when the rest of the world is disconnected from your personal life, especially due to the internet, subhanAllah. And in addition to this, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا, utilize it to recite the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prayer, the standing, the disconnect from your bed, the disconnect from worldly comforts. That forsaking of the bed is mentioned in the Qur'an as well. تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. These righteous people, those who train themselves properly, you want to be strong, then let go of your bed. For a certain part of the night, let go of the bed and worship Allah with hope and with fear, with a balance of the two. And from what Allah blessed you with, spend in His cause. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what? فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. No soul knows what is hidden for them of a blessing, meaning the coolness of the eyes. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. This is the reward of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to develop ourselves and to be trained with the training program given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the early companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who pray during the night. At least begin with a short habit, a small habit, something light for you and your family, and try to increase it from there before the month of Ramadan comes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who take care of our affairs and take care of our families and take care of the private opportunities we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilize all of us and our loved ones to reform society for the better. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Allahumma aghfir li walidina wa li walidi walidina. Allahumma ya muqallib al qulubi wal absar, thabbit qulubana ala dinik. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم ارزقنا الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد في الأولين وفي الآخرين وفي الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان في كل مكان في كل مكان يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم ارفع عنا البلاء والوباء برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ارزقنا حسن الخاتمة واجعل خير أيامنا يوم نلقاك. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأقم الصلاة.